Today's shir is Masechta Pesachim Daf Nun Aleph. We will begin on Daf Nun Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Our Gemara returns to the subject that our Perek began with, the halachas when somebody can travel on Shabbos, regarding Minhagim. And the subject that our Gemara discusses is about traveling before Shabbos. The Mishnah and the Gemara, Masechta the Shabbos, Daf Yud Tesam and Aleph, teaches us, Eim HaFligim B'Sfina, one may not travel on a boat, Pachs M'Shloi Shiyoyim, Kodim Shabbos. You're not allowed to travel on a boat within 3 days before Shabbos. The halacha, however, is, if where you're traveling one area to another area are very close to each other, then you may travel on Erev Shabbos. But tells us the Gemara, they Baishin, the people who lived in the city of Baishin, no, their minig was to have Aslan, that they wouldn't even travel Mitzor Letzidin, from Tzor to Tzidin, B'mali Shabbata, on Erev Shabbos. Even though the day of the market day in Tzidin was on Friday, and therefore that was the day where you could get wares at a better price, still, they didn't want to travel on Erev Shabbos under any circumstances. Continues the Gemara. Yes, Osbanayu, the children of the Bnei Baishin came to Rabbi Yochanan, Amalu, Avson Avshalhu. Our forefathers were able to be machmor on themselves not to travel on Erev Shabbos, even to a close area, even though it was to their advantage, because that was the Yom HaShuk. Anan, but we, Lo Yafshalon, we don't have that financial ability. We don't have the ability to have to always buy wares that are more expensive. Amalhu, to which Rabbi Yochanan responded, Kvakvilu Asechem Alehem, your forefathers accepted this minig upon themselves, and now you have to continue that minig. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Shema b'nei musar avicha, v'alti tosh Torah simecha. If this is what your forefathers did, this is what you are obligated to do as well. So as I said, this Gemara is going according the way Rashi explains, because they wanted to be machmer, not to travel under any circumstances on Erev Shabbos, even though technically they were allowed to go there, it's because it's close one to another. And our Gemara is teaching us that minig the children cannot back out of. So the question that the Yerushalmi asks is that we know that any nether a person can annul. So why couldn't they have just gone and being mapped to this nether? So the Yerushalmi answers that only a nether that one makes himself does he have the ability to be matter. But this was a nether that was made by the forefathers. A nether that was made by the forefathers, they don't have the ability to be matter. So ask the Yerushalmi, it's difficult to understand. If a nether that I took upon myself, I can be matter, why shouldn't I be able to be matter a nether that I didn't even willingly take upon myself? So then the Yerushalmi says, that Yehuda held that it was actually halacha also to travel on Erev Shabbos. So according to Yerushalmi, has a different understanding of our Gemara. Yerushalmi is saying that it was more of a halachic issue. But the Divrei Chaim and many other Rishonim and Achronim, he just sort of crystallizes all of the issue. And this is Yerudea Simon Memches. He says that certainly the children could have been matan minig. What Rabbi Yochanan said that they can't, he says, because there's a new minig, there's a new rule of Al Titosh Tyrus Imecha. A minig that was accepted in a family, that is a minig that has a whole different status. And that minig you can't walk away from. So we see from here that a Kabbalah, and something that the forefathers accepted upon themselves, obligates the children as well. But derived has an interesting approach to this halacha. He says this is only in a place where the forefathers took upon themselves a chumrah. because they felt that there's a real reason, la locha, to take on that chumrah. And that's the kind of situation, ninig, that they can't walk away from. But it depends, he says. If they took it upon themselves as a minig that should be followed in the family, then the children can't walk away. But if when they took the minig upon themselves, they took it on because it's only for themselves, but not that it should be obligated, that not that it should obligate the family, then it's not mechayiv the children. Furthermore, if they didn't take on a minig because they felt there was an issue of something being usur, there too, the minig that a forefather takes upon himself doesn't obligate the family after. According to the Ravid, that means if a family took upon themselves a minig, because there's an issue of halacha here, that minig the children cannot walk away from. The Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says that what was meant to say here was that the minig obligates them. But of course, if they want to be matan neder, they have the ability to be matan neder. And that's the opinion of the Ramban and the Ravid as well. So, ask the Chavis Yor, if this is the way we have to look at, if this is the way the halacha looks at such a situation, so then every time somebody takes upon himself to do something which is an ahogat taiva, which is a good custom, so the children should right away have to do so. And not only should the children have to do so, but the way we're learning, the children, it's even more serious by the children than it is by the forefathers, because they can't walk away from the nether so simple. Again, so he adds that there's another dimension to this halacha. And he adds that the other dimension to this halacha is if it was done by kehila. But if it wasn't done by a whole kehila, it was just one individual, one family, then it doesn't apply. The Divrei Chaim has a different approach. He says there are two types of minhagim. Sometimes a person takes upon himself a minig because he wants to be more religious, more machmer. That's not a minig that the children have to follow. But if the minig is based on a concern of iser, they took upon themselves a certain minig because they were concerned that if they're not going to take upon themselves this minig, they may come to do something which is osur. That's a minig, he says, that has much more strength in halacha. Continues the Gemara. We know, as we've learned previously in our Masechta, that if somebody prepares a dough, there's an obligation to take challah off that dough and give it to the kohen. The halacha of challah only applies to doughs that are made out of five types of grains. Says the Gemara, the people who lived in Chazoy would take challah off rice bread. Asav Amalei Rabbi Yosef, so they went and told Rabbi Yosef, Amalei Nechel Zar Bapeyu, a person who's not a kohen should eat that challah to show that this halacha is incorrect, and there's no chiyuv challah on rice bread. And by a zor eating it, he's demonstrating that what they were doing was completely not halachically accepted. Because if the halacha was that way, of course a Yisrael may not eat challah. It's in the category of truma. Esrei asked the Gemara, Esrei Abaya, the Braisa teaches us, Dvarim HaMatarim, if something is halachically permissible, V'cheirim Nogu Isser, but other people are machmer, you have no right to be mekel. So if they took upon themselves this chumrah of not eating rice bread, that taking challah from rice bread, how could we be so lenient? Omlu v'lami itmalo. Omer of Chizda, where does that halach apply that we have no right to be lenient? Only by kutoy. Because by them, if we're going to start being mekel, and they're going to take that and be mekel all over the place. But other people, we don't have to be worried. Says the word kutai metama. What's the reason the halacha is different by the kutai? Mishum the milsa. If we're going to be lenient, they may take this too far. Ask the Gemara, Hanachin Shinami. So these people as well, Sarchi Milsa, they're going to be more lenient. That's the type, the people who lived there were also not so religious and not so learned. Ella Amravashi, the way to look at this minig is as follows. Chazinim, we have to analyze. Iruban or is achli, if most of the people who live in Chuzoi eat rice, bread, then a zor should not eat that chala. That is the bread that's commonly eaten. Since that's the bread that's commonly eaten, if we're going to say that it's not mechuyev and chala, and there's not much really other bread, people are going to be lenient by all bread, and they're not going to take chala. However, but if most of the people eat bread from regular grain, the chala that was taken from rice bread may be eaten by Yisrael. And not only may be eaten, it should be eaten. Because we have to be concerned, there's a halach in Hilchas Chalav, that you can't take menachiyev al ptor for something which is obligated to something which is not obligated. And we need to be concerned, and because of that concern, the halacha is that we should show that we're not chayiv. So Tosfos, in analyzing this Gemara, asks, why was Rabbi Yosef so lenient? So he answers, isn't the halacha, as we're learning in our sugyas, how strict we have to be with menhagim? So Tosfos establishes a very important point. Tosfos establishes that a minig which was made in error is not a minig that we have to be so concerned. And therefore, since that's the entire discussion of our Gemara, since this minig is not really made properly. Our Gemara, as we're going to learn, establishes the rule, Dvarim shana acherim nogu ben iser, yata rishoy lahata b'fneyem. So here we see that even though technically it's mutter, if people accepted a minig on them, we can't tell them that what they're doing is wrong. Why? Because since they accepted upon themselves this minig, it becomes to them usur. And not only will we not tell them that what they're doing is not necessary, we can't do different in front of them that which would cause them to walk away from the minig. Tosfos in Masechet Sukkah, Daf Mem Dal Amud Beis, has a question: if we make a minig, or we make a bracha on a minig. Nechsam Sofer says that shouldn't our Gemara be a raya that you make a minig on? So if we make a minig on a bracha, ask Nechsam Sofer, so our Gemara should be very difficult. If Mikra didn't, if really halachically we don't have to take off challah from rice bread, we're allowing them, however, as the Gemara just explained, to continue doing so. If we make a bracha on a minig, wouldn't this be a bracha levatalah? So the Chasam Sofer says that once, as our Gemara explains, this is a minig that the halacha says to follow, given the conditions our Gemara just taught, it's not considered a minig bracha levatalah. And the Chasam Sofer goes on to say, we see from here that there's good reason to be lenient in this minig. You may come to take, as we just said, challah min haptor al chiyuv. Still, one has to be extremely careful to be not to be mevatel minig, because the repercussions are very significant. And I saw that the Chasam Sofer differentiates between different minhagim. He says that a minig which is here because there's an issue of iser. They thought somebody is that they're not allowed to eat the dough if they don't take off challah. That's a much stronger minig than a minig which is something that we only started accepting upon ourselves to do something, but it doesn't have that same seriousness. What I mean to say, for example, as we know, the minig is that we say halal on Rosh Chodesh. So Ashkenazim make a bracha, and Sfaradim don't make a bracha. Why not? Because that's not a minig to protect an isser. A minig which is not here to protect an isser is a lesser seriousness that we should have to make a bracha, explains the Chassam Sofer. Gufa, so the Gemara goes into the subject. Dvar ma'matar v'achem nogim on iser, yatr shoyim lefneim. Amar Rav Chizda says, when is that, when are we so concerned not to be lenient? Says Rav Chizda v'kutoyeskinen, when we're talking about kutoyim that could get the wrong message. Asking Rav Kulei Amaloi, is this only by kutoyim? V'tanya, roichtzin shnei achim kachet. Two brothers may go to the bathhouse, to the mikveh, to get together, and we're not concerned that if they see each other without clothing, they could come to Mishkav Zachar. However, the minig was that two brothers in Kovel, that was a city, never went to the bathhouse together. Says the Gemara Maaseh Yehuda, there was a story where Yehuda and Hillel, the children of Gamaliel, they went to the mikveh together, these two brothers. And everybody started murmuring, how are they going to the mikveh together, two brothers? We never saw two brothers go to the mikveh together. When Hillel heard what was going on, he went out of the beis mikveh, but he refused to tell them that you're allowed to do it. So we see that even though this is a minig that they accepted upon themselves, that isn't really based on halacha, still Hillel, in respect out of their minig, followed it. Similarly, the Braisa says, Yoitzim b'kuduksayim b'shabbos. One is allowed to wear wide shoes that easily fall off on Shabbos. Then Yoitzim b'kadusu b'shabbos b'biri. In the city, there was a minig that nobody wore these types of shoes on Shabbos. On Ma'aseh b'Yehuda b'Hillel, Bon of Shor Gamliel. Again, there was an episode with Yehuda and Hillel, the children of Gamliel. She ought to be kudus and shabbos with Biri. They were wearing these types of shoes in Biri. V'lozalaim Medina, and everybody was murmuring. V'amrum yemenu le'reinu kach. We never saw people act this way. V'shamtem, and they took them off. V'nosun l'avdeim. They gave them to the servants to carry. V'loyrotzalaim lehem, but they didn't want to tell these people who had this minig matarim. It's mutter. Furthermore, says the Gemara, one may sit on the benches that they used to commonly sit on when people sold their merchandise. But in Akku, the meaning was that nobody sat on those benches because people shouldn't come to accuse them that we're coming, that they're selling merchandise in Shabbos. That he sat on those benches. And everybody was murmuring. We never saw anybody act this way, sit on these benches in Shabbos. Nishmat agabakarka, he sat himself down on the floor, but he refused to say that it's mutter. So we see that you have to follow the minhagim under all circumstances. Whereas Rav Chizda, we just said that this halacha only applies by kutoy. Answers the Gemara, b'nei medinim nami, the people who lived in these various locations, kivin d'lo shchicha rabbonu gabayu, weren't talmid chachamim, didn't have rabbonim to teach them the halacha, and that's why the halacha considers them kikutim domi. Says the Gemara, b'shlam b'shavsin nachri, I can understand this last minig that they didn't sit on the benches on which people sell merchandise in Shabbos. It looks like people could come to assume that you're doing business. Because the Sayim Nami, the halacha of not wearing these wide shoes, we need to be concerned them a mishtafin that the shoes may fall off. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah says that this halacha doesn't apply bizman hazeh. That bizman hazeh, where nobody, even if somebody was wearing a shoe that would easily fall off, nobody's going to walk in the street without shoes. That's why you're allowed to wear any type of shoes on Shabbos. El Rechtsin asked the Gemara, what is the basis of this minig that brothers, my tamaloi, should not go to the mikveh together? Kirtanya answers the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us. And we call Adam Reichitz, a person could go to the mikveh with anyone, chutz mi'aviv, except with his father. Because by looking at his father when he's not dressed, he may start thinking, well, this is from where I came, and that will bring him to think the wrong thoughts. Chamav, and the same thing, he may not go to the mikveh with his father-in-law. Again, for the same reason. Bal imoy, he may not go to the mikveh with his mother's husband for the same reason. Or bal achosoy, and his sister's husband, again for the same reason. Rabbi Yehuda mata ba'aviv, he's allowed to go with his father, v'nei kavod aviv. If it's a situation that the father needs him to help him, then he could go. V'adin lebal imoy, and the same thing if his father-in-law's wife or his mother-in-law's husband need his half. Vos inu, came the people of Kavul, v'gozu b'shnei achim, they said that two brothers shouldn't go to the mikveh together. They were concerned that if two brothers would go to the mikveh together, then you'll go to the mikveh with your sister's husband, which could bring the wrong thoughts. Tana, and the Brisa concludes, Tamala yichetzim rabbi, a Talmud should not go to the mikveh together with his Rebbe, from Rabbi Tzaruch loy, but if his Rebbe needs him, then he's allowed to go. So the Ramah, in quoting this halacha in Evan Ezer, Simon Chof Gimel Sifov, says that Bezman Hazeh, we're lenient with this minig, because people, when they go to the bathhouses, are careful to close them, to cover themselves off. So Doruch HaShulchan says that Bezman Hazeh, when people go to the mikveh, they don't cover themselves up, they go without clothing, then we should be machmir. So Rabbi Yehuda said that somebody could go with his father because he helps his father in the mikveh. And therefore, in the Gemara in Masechta Smacha says that the halacha that you can go to the mikveh with your father is only if the father needs your help. But if your father, Baruch Hashem, is able to go by himself, you have no right to go to the mikveh together with your father. The Gemara concluded that with a Rebbe, you're also not allowed to go to the mikveh unless your Rebbe needs him. But the Ramah, in this halacha, this is in Yerudeya, Simon Reish Mem Beis, Sift Hezvov, makes an interesting distinction. He says, you're not allowed to go to the mikveh together with your Rebbe, or you're not allowed to go to the mikveh when you know your Rebbe's there. But let's say you were already in the mikveh, and while you're in the mikveh, your Rebbe comes in, you don't have to go out. So this halacha, as I said, the Ramah says, we're not machmor on this halacha, but the Ramah says only because we go in the mikveh we're not undressed. And as Doruch HaShulchan says, Bezman Hazeh, we don't get dressed in the mikveh. It should be asur. So I saw that the Poskim say the reason why people are lenient in this halacha, Bezman Hazeh, is because Bezman Hazeh, in those days, people, as the Gemara says, it wasn't necessarily a mikveh, it was a merchatz. And people would spend a lot of time in the mikveh. But Bezman Hazeh, when people go to the mikveh, they don't spend that much time undressed in the mikveh. That's why we could be more lenient. The Torah HaKadosha teaches us that one may not eat chaylev. The Torah says, kol chaylev shav v'kesev v'eiz lois chaylu. The Torah says, ki kol oichel chaylev min abaheima shiakru meni ish l'ashem, v'nechresa ha-nefesh ha-cheles me'amehel. The question is, as the Gemara Masech Techulin, Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis discusses, what is considered chaylev? The chaylev akeva, the chaylev that's on top of the animal stomach, is considered to some degree chaylev, because it's part of the fats that are burnt on the mizbeach, and fats that are burnt on the mizbeach are considered chaylev, which we may not can eat. So when the Gemara over there discusses that the chaylev, there's a piece of chaylev which is straight, and there's a piece of chaylev which is bent over. So we have two layers. The one layer is called the chaylev dakshasa, that everybody agrees is considered chalev, and then there's a chalev, the lower layer, which is called the yasra, where we have a machloikis, if you're allowed to eat that chalev or not. And there was a difference in minig between the people in Eretz Yisrael and the people in Bavel regarding that chalev. The people in Eretz Yisrael followed the opinion of Rekiva that held that you're allowed to eat the chalev dayasra, and the people of Bavel followed the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who said that one may not eat that chalev. Says the Gemara, Kiyos Rabbi Babachana. When Rabbi Babachana came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, ochel dayasra. He continued following the minig of Eretz Yisrael, which was the minig of Rabbi Kiva, that they ate that chalev. Ola gabei Rav Avius, Rav Avir Sarba, Rabbi Breid Rav Hina. And Rav Avir Sarba and Rabbi Breid Rav Hina came to visit him. Kim de Chazenu, when he saw them, Kasai Minai, who covered up the chalev, because they didn't eat it, they lived from Bavel. And also Amal Abaya, and they repeated what happened to Abaya, and Abaya's comment was, Shavinu Kutayu, he's treating you like a Kutayu, because we just learned in the previous sugyas that a minig that people follow, if there's a concern that if I'm going to be lenient in that minig, they're going to be lenient. That's why I have to be strict. So by him acting that way, it seems that he's concerned that he can't be lenient because you could come to do the wrong thing. Ask the Gemara for Rabbi Babachana. But why doesn't Rabbi Babachana agree with what we learned in the Mishnah at the beginning of our Perek? Lesley had the Tanan Noigan Alav Chumri Makum Shiyot Misham, the Chumri Makum Shalach Lisham, that he left, that if somebody's going from a place where they don't work to a place where they do work, or vice versa, we had given all the chumras. So here too, even though in Eretz Yisrael they ate this chalev, but in Bavel they didn't eat this chalev. So how could he be lenient? Amr Abaya. So answers Abaya, the halacha that we learned in our Mishnah applies. Hani mili mi Bavel le Bavel, from one city to another city in Bavel, or mi Eretz Yisrael le Eretz Yisrael, from one city in Eretz Yisrael to another city in Eretz Yisrael. Inami mi Bavel le Eretz Yisrael. If somebody is traveling from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, since the people who live in Bavel are less Tamid Chachamim, they don't have smicha like the people in Eretz Yisrael, that's why we have to be stricter. Avam Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. If somebody's traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, loy. Then the people who are coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel need not follow the menhagim of the people in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Since the people in Bavel have to lower themselves to the people in Eretz Yisrael, the people in Eretz Yisrael had smicha, therefore they were able to pass kandine knosses, and the people in Bavel did not. Avdinu kuvasayu, the people in Eretz Yisrael who come from Eretz Yisrael could continue following the menhagim, and that's why he who was coming from Eretz Yisrael could follow their menhagim, continue following his menhagim. Ravashi says, Afilu tema Eretz Yisrael Bavel. Even if somebody travels from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he should follow the minig hamakom. However, hani mila hechadein dat lachzor. That's only an individual who has no intention to go back to Eretz Yisrael. However, Rabbi Babachana intended to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he could continue following the minig of Eretz Yisrael. And as the Sfasemis explains, the fundamental machloikis between Abaye and Rav Ashi is what's the reason one has to follow the minig of a person of the place that he comes to. Abaye is concerned for machloikis. And therefore, since he's concerned for machloikis, somebody even traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel somebody who travels from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel should follow the minig of Eretz Yisrael. However, if Ashi's own opinion, that has nothing to do with Machloikis. You have to follow the minig of Mokum that you came to. And since you have to follow the minig of Mokum that you came to, but that's only in a situation where you're going to remain there. If you're not going to remain there, you don't have to follow those Menhagim. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rabba B'chana Lebrei, B'ni, Lois Toichel, don't eat this part of the fat, the chel of the yasra, loy b'fanai, not when I'm there, v'loy shloy b'fanai, and not when I'm not there. Because he says, Anisha Risis Rabbi Yochanan she'achal, I saw Rabbi Yochanan eat this fat, so the Kedai Rabbi Yochanan, l'smechalov, bein b'fanav, bein shloy b'fanav. I, who personally saw Rabbi Yochanan eat this fat, may continue eating that fat. However, at the loy risoy, you never saw him eat that fat, and therefore you have no right to eat this loy b'fanav, loy bein b'fanai, bein shloy b'fanai, you can't eat it under any circumstances. And as the Brikas Avram explains, his son obviously didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, because if his son lived in Eretz Yisrael, then he would have the same halacha as all the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Ramosh in the Dibros Moshe explains that what's the difference if he saw Rabbi Yochanan, if somebody saw Rabbi Yochanan eat, or somebody didn't see Rabbi Yochanan. Certainly, if Rabbi Abba Chana saw Rabbi Yochanan eat, he's trusted to say that he did it. So why shouldn't that be enough of a reason for his son to be able to follow that minhag? So he says that, again, we have to remember that we're referring to a situation that the minhag hamakom was different. So since the minhag hamakom was not to eat that fat, the only reason somebody could eat the fat is if there's a psak, a halachic psak that is understandable, why not to follow that minhag? So he explains. Rabbi Bava Chana said, I myself am not qualified to paskin the shayla. Rabbi Yochanan was qualified to paskin the shayla. In a situation where you're not alone able to paskin the shayla, and of course it's against the minhag hamakom, you only have a right to follow that minhag if you yourself saw that person act that way. But if you didn't see the person himself act that way, you have no right to follow that minhag. The halacha is that svichim are different growths that grow in the Shemitah year. They could grow in a number of fashions. Certain things grow automatically themselves. Certain things, there are leftover seeds on the ground, and that causes that produce should be grown in Shemitah. Rabbi Kiva holds the svichim are also bachila. The svichim that grow in the Shemitah year may not be eaten once this manbir we spoke about the other day, that once it's not available, fruit, vegetables are not available in the field, they become this manbir, nobody can eat it. So the Gemara begins a discussion regarding sviche krub, the svichim of vegetable. Did Chazal make an iser on sviche krub or not? Says the Gemara, this that Rabbi Abba Chana said seems to be self-contradictory. Dom Rabbi Abba Chana, Sochli Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar, Pamachas nechasti ach Rabbi Shimon ben Yosi ben Lekunya Legina, I once followed him to a garden, the Notel sviche krub, and he took these svichei kruv, the svichim of cabbage, vachal, and he ate it, v'nosanli, and he gave me Rabbi Yochanan Elazar from these svichim to eat, vamali, and he told me, b'ni, b'fanai echoil, in front of me you may eat them, shloi b'fanai, but not in front of me, loy toichal. And he explained, anisha yirisi sub shimon yechai sh'achal, I who saw shimon yechai eat these svichim, Kedai Rav Shim ben Yochai, Lismachala b'fanav, Shalai b'fanav. I could rely on him under all circumstances. However, Atta, you, b'fanai achoil, in front of me you may eat, Shalai b'fanav lai toichal. So here we see a stira in the opinion of Rabbi Abba Chana, because what he's saying is that if you see me, Rabbi Abba Chana, doing something, you're allowed to follow me, at least when I'm there. In the previous Gemara, he said that you can't follow me under any circumstances, says the Gemara. So we had here discussion about svichei kruv. And again, as we discussed, there are three types of svichim. Either seeds that fell on the ground before Shemitah and then grew on Shemitah, or a vegetable that was cut before Shemitah and then it grew again in the Shemitah year, or the different vegetables and grass that grow by themselves in the Shemitah year. So, matter of Shimon, where do we see that Rav Shimon held that Tzvichei Kruv Amutarim? The Tanya says, the Gemara, the Braisa says, Rav Shimon Omer, Kala Tzvichim Asurim, all Tzvichim may not be eaten after the Zman Beer, Chutz Mitzvichei Kruv, except the Tzvichim of cabbage, Shein Yotz Ben Yerek Soda. There's no other type of Tzvichim, because the Tzvichei Kruv, there's always cabbage in the field. And since there's always cabbage in the field, there's no Zman Beer on cabbage. And something that doesn't have a Zman Beer, there is no Hilchis Svichim on. V'chamayim call Svichim Asurim, or Svichim Asurim. Chazal were concerned that if we're going to allow you to eat Svichim, people are going to deliberately plant things in the Shemitah year and say that they were Svichim. And therefore all Svichim are Asur. Says the Gemara, V'tavayu, this machlokes that we just learned of Rav Shimon the Chachamim is going, what is the opinion of Rabbi Kiva? The Tanya, the Torah, when it speaks about the mitzvah Shemitah, if people say, people are going to say, Man noichel b'shana ashviyis, what can we eat this year? Hein lo nizra v'lo nesef tefusenu, we didn't plant anything, we didn't collect anything. There's a real concern what we may eat. Amar Rabbi Kiva, v'chi ma'achas shein zoyrim. So another question is, but if they didn't plant, where would they have any fruits or vegetables to collect? From here we see that this is the source for the halacha of svichim. Now that we've established, says the Gemara, that there is an isser in svichim, what is the machlokes between Rabbanan and Rav Shimon? But Michael Mufki, Rabbanan Savri Gazrin and Svichi Kruv or Teshva Svichi Dalmu. By other svichim, where there is a Zman Beer, there's certainly, as we just finished learning, a halacha svichim. So they said that the halacha doesn't only apply by other vegetables, it applies by svichei kruv as well. But Shimon Sover, since, as we just learned, svichei kruv are unique, like gazrinin, svichei kruv are to svichei da alma. We learned in the Mishnah that if somebody travels from a place that they do malacha on Erev Pesach before Chatzos, and now he arrives at a place where they don't do, or vice versa. He goes from a place where they don't do malacha on Erev Pesach in the morning to a place where they do malacha on Erev Pesach. He, nice and love, we give him all the chumras. Nice and love, chumri makam shiyatz misham, v'chumri makam shalach l'sham. He has to take on both chumras. And then the Mishnah says, another rule, lo yishana adam v'vnei machlokes. A person has to be very careful not to act different than the people where he is, because it could bring a machlokes. Says the Gemara, Bishlama, so we understand the halacha that the Mishnah said, that a hoylech l'makom she'oisim, l'makom she'ein oisim, that if you travel from a place where people don't do malacha to a place where people do malacha, noisim alav chumri makom she'alach l'sham, so we tell him, you may not work, because al yishana adam b'vnei machlokes, because as the Mishnah is explaining, nobody works here, so you shouldn't work either. V'lo levit, and therefore you shouldn't do malacha. Ella asked the Gemara, if you come from a place, m'makom she'ein oisim, from a place where people don't do malacha Erev Pesach in the morning, and you come to a place, l'makom she'oisim, that we learned the halacha, that we just learned that the rule of the Mishnah is, al yishana adam b'nei machlokes. So if so, ask the Gemara v'nevid, then he should do malacha because we don't want it to be different. But on the other hand, our Mishnah said, Ha'amrit, nosh l'chumr makm sh'olch l'sham v'chumr makm sh'yotz misham. So we have a contradiction. If we follow the halacha of nosh l'chumr makm sh'olch l'sham v'chumr makm sh'yotz misham, he should not do work. If we're going to follow the rule of al yishana adam b'nei machlokes, he should work. So what do we do? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye Reisha. When the Mishnah said, al yishana adam b'nei machlokes, it's only going back on the Reisha. It's only going to a situation where he comes from a place where they do malacha to a place where they don't malacha. And therefore, even though technically, since it's his minig to do malacha, because al yishana adam b'nei machlokes, he shouldn't do malacha. But in the Sefer, where somebody is traveling from a place where they don't do malacha to a place where they do melacha, the halacha is that he shouldn't do melacha. The reason he shouldn't do melacha is because that's his minig, and he should not be concerned about the machlokes that could create. Rav Amar, Rav says lo'olam ha-seifa. The halacha could be even in the seifa, and there's a concept of lo'ishanav of ne'im machlokes. And that says Rava, in this situation, there's no concern of Alishan of Neim Achlaikis. For Hakkam, Aim Bazu, in a case where you travel from a place where they don't work to a place where they do work, and you will continue not working, we need not be concerned about Machlaikis. Aim Bazu, Rimnei Shina Machlaikis. There's no concern of Machlaikis here. The Maika Amrit, we're going to say that somebody sees that this person is not working. Omer, he's going to make the mistake and say, everybody is working, he is working, he's not working, he must be Mlacha Asura. That's not necessarily what people are going to say. People are going to say, Meima Omer, they're going to say, Kama Batlana Hava B'Shuka. There are plenty of people who don't work. And since there are plenty of people that don't work, they're going to attribute the fact that he didn't work, not because there's a machloikis, not because they're different menhagim, but they're going to attribute it to the fact that he didn't have anything to do that day, and because he didn't have anything to do that day, that's why he wasn't working. In fact, this question comes up in a number of areas of halacha. The Ritvaz discusses a situation that if somebody is machmer and he doesn't eat meat that was slaughtered by certain shochtim, he doesn't eat meat that has certain hashgachas, he has to be very careful when he doesn't eat that meat that it shouldn't bring to any machloikas. He should be careful not to avoid that. People should not recognize that the reason he's not eating the meat is because he has some sort of a concern on the meat. In fact, there's a very interesting Bach. The Bach says that there are certain people who in Chutz Laretz are makbid not to eat Chadash. And there are people who have a minig in Chutz Laretz, which is actually based on a Bach, to eat Chadash. Says the Bach that if the minig hamokim where you come to is that people are lenient and they eat Chadash, the person who doesn't eat Chadash should not publicly announce his chumrah, because it could cause machloikas. That means, says the Bach, he could continue being machmer and not eat chadash. But he has to be very sensitive not to create any machloikas. I saw a beautiful vort. The Gemara, we learned earlier in our shir, when speaking about going to a traveling from one place to another place, the Gemara, daf nun aleph amar aleph, differentiated if data lachser or it's ain data lachser. Are you intending to go back to your original place? Then you don't accept the menhagim of where you came to versus when it's not your intention to go back. He says, so the Sefer Kerem Tzvi says that we all start in the Olam HaEmes. The Olam HaEmes is a world where people are obviously following Torah and mitzvahs to perfection. And we come to this world. But we know, as it says in Pirkei Avos, Hayiludim Lomus. Everybody ultimately, unfortunately, will have to pass away. So since we're all Datoy Lachser, we're all going back to that world. And in that world, so we have to continue following the Menhagim of where we came from. If we're coming from a world of Shmiras Mitzvahs, and we're coming from a world of a high level of ruchnius, since it's datoy lachser, we have the obligation to continue following that light style of life.